America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Please call in. Or don't. Humans. Foolish humans. This is Michael Dean. I don't want to talk to you tonight. This is Michael Dean, last fiend standing. I'm sad because Nima Vedati resigned his jersey from the Freedom Fiends today. But it's cool because I have like 10 other co-hosts and the show is going to go on. And this show, the nighttime show, Michael Dean After Dark, is going to get rebranded in about 3 weeks as the Freedom Fiends. And I got my other fiend du jour over there, Davi Barker, the pre-op extraterrestrial. How you doing, Davi?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. You sound a little southern there. How are you?
How's it going?
How's it going? Are you southern? You're California.
I'm not southern. I'm Californian.
Yeah, man.
I'm a San Francisco kid.
What's a pre-op extraterrestrial?
It means that I have always felt that I was born to the wrong species, and when I find out what my species looks like, I'm going to get the operation.
Yeah, I've always had a similar feeling of, wait, I had some accident of birth, and it's more like I'm the right species, but I was born to the wrong planet. Like, wait, you guys put me on the planet where people tell me what to do and try to keep me from doing things that don't hurt anybody. What's wrong? I want to go to the freedom planet.
The Freedom Planet. Absolutely.
Today, Neiman and I decided that the Freedom Planet is actually, there is LibPair on Earth. There's a place you can go live freely and not be messed with by any government, and it is the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone.
Wow, okay.
I've been watching documentaries about the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone, and it is, there are no people there in an area the size of Great Britain. And the
I've seen a horror movie that was set there, people there.
They went to visit, and people do go to visit for an hour or two at a time. But there are radioactive bears there, like in that documentary. It's true. Okay. Yeah. So the thing I was going to tell you that's cool about radio right before we started, really, I just want to cry for 2 hours about Nima leaving. I guess I should talk a little bit.
Well, that'll be great radio.
It's just thinking that. I mean, it's not great radio, and it's not great radio to open a show with saying, please call in. Never mind. I don't want to talk to you guys.
Leave me alone. I just want to be by myself.
Yeah, but, you know, it is a duty.
He said duty.
It is a duty. And you know, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm here because I have to be. It's a good thing to be on radio. Davi wants to be on radio tonight. I just want to cry and bum everyone out. But Davi will cheer you up. But what I was going to tell you that's really cool about being on radio, our network, Genesis Communications Network, and most networks that syndicate radio have what's called a silence alarm, which is basically the board ops have something connected to the mixer where if you get 6 seconds of talking, literally an alarm beep, beep, beep goes off in their studio. And that's because usually talk radio hosts never stop talking for more than a few seconds. So if there's 6 seconds of silence, it means something's wrong. And
so it's like a medical alert.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need to put on like some jazz music or put a replay of your show on or something. But think about this. Think about how cool it would have been, Davi, when you and I were little, if someone had said someday you talking will be so important that if you stop, alarms will go off and people will panic. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that would have made me feel really good. I was a talker when I was a kid. My nickname that my parents and neighbors had, people used to call me the little professor. Because when I was like 2 to 4 years old, I used to explain how the world worked, even if I was wrong. I just had to explain to people how everything happened.
Well, then I think you found your niche, talk radio, because if you're really good at desiring to talk constantly, even if you don't know what you're talking about, that's what talk radio is for, man.
That's the industry, right?
There is.
We have a place for you.
At least this show. At least this show. Yeah.
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 So that's what I am. I'm mediocre at everything, especially pretending to be more of an expert than I am.
Yeah. And there's not much money in it. Nima Vedati just quit basically today because he wasn't making enough money at it. And he's being replaced by 10 people. So even if I paid them, they'd be getting 1/10 of not enough money to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, your friend talked to me back today about she's going to sell my buttons for me with the child labor at the festival in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone today asked me if I was self-employed, and I said, no, I'm self-exploited. I don't even pay myself minimum wage.
I know. That's probably one thing the FCC will eventually do to kick all the Liberty people off radio is, like, put it in law that you can't be on radio unless everyone speaking is making minimum wage and has health benefits. And I can't even give myself that. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
What I made last year worked out to 40 cents an hour for 80 hours a week of work or something like that. So, yeah. Hey, our show's great, man. We're losing money on it. We'll tell the world. If you want to advertise on Michael Dean After Dark or the Freedom Fiends, drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com.
That's just the measure of our enthusiasm.
It is. It is. Because, yeah, I mean, I kind of get the impression that a lot of people doing media maybe started it for the right reasons 40 years ago or what they believed were the right reasons. But if they suddenly started making what I'm making and what you make in your day job, they would quit. They would say, I'm going to sail off into the sunset with my gold microphone and my cigars and my trophy wives, my fourth wife, and yeah, and do a podcast for free, and people will still pay them to do it. I guess what I'm saying is I'm kind of reveling in I'm trying to make myself feel better because I'm bummed out. I mean, we've done the Freedom Fiends have 345 episodes under our belt. Nima was there for at least 300 of them, and it's kind of the end of an era and the beginning of a new one, and it's going to be great. You know, the co-hosts we have, when I'm not depressed about things and whining about not making any money, I do good radio with good people like Davi.
But, well, I mean, Nima is also a model of Liberty Media, of a Liberty Media personality, because he left a regular news job telling stories he hated to do what he loved.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, he literally did. I can't say that. I can say I left a job I hated, but I didn't work inside the sort of media metropolis or whatever. So
yeah, Liberty Nima was one of the generals in the Liberty mission, and you're one of the generals in it too. But on radio, you're kind of one of the Liberty National Guard that gets called up every week by me.
I'm a Lieutenant AWOL reporting for duty.
Lieutenant AWOL reporting for duty. Lieutenant. Yeah, I was gonna make a joke, but it's not radio friendly. If y'all want to call in, we don't want to talk to you, but you know the number, you know the Skype. I'm kidding. We would love to hear from you. And the call in number, I can't remember. And the Skype is kittyfeet1. And if you're already on my Skype list, I have 500 people on my Skype list because I've been using it for radio for a year. So everyone who's ever called in is a Skype friend of mine. So yeah, if any one of those people want to call, they're all going the three of them are listening are going I'm not calling in. He's going to yell at me, man. No. So let's talk about, let's see, are we kicked off air yet? Let's talk about Christian Sharian. Sharia's. What's Christian Sharia? We don't call it that. We don't need
to. I think you got to define this one. I have issues with this term, but that's all right.
Well, a lot of Christians got upset with that term, and one Muslim basically explained to us that it wasn't very accurate because Sharia, while it's generally associated with people like the Taliban telling women they can't be seen in public or drive cars and closing the bank accounts of people. Well, actually the Department of Justice is acting like the Taliban right now because they have this thing called Operation Choke Point, which was originally intended to stop people who are doing fraud from having legal bank accounts, to make it harder for people to do fraud. But they've expanded it to shutting down bank accounts of law-abiding people who someone in the government just doesn't like. They're closing bank accounts of people who do porn, people who sell guns, people who sell precious metals, people who do payday loans. They're just being horrible, man. And that's kind of what the Taliban did. They just came in, took over the government, and started just not even passing laws, but just making decrees of, from now on, we will do it this way. you know. So,
so you're saying they became a government. That kind of describes every government.
Well, the Taliban were the government.
Right.
Yeah, you know that. Everybody knows
that. So they showed up and they you know, they became the state. And then they started making decrees. Nothing seems spectacular about that.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of surprising because, you know, America is supposed to have rule of law. And it's when, like, the highest, you know, the Department of Justice, who are in charge of the rule of law, just start making up their own laws.
This is my problem with the word.
Anarchy.
You got chaos, not anarchy.
Right, so this is my problem with this term is that, like, Sharia is an Arabic word that means law, right?
Yeah.
So – like when you talk, when you use the word law, there's like the law in the sense of the state has a law and it's enforced by a gun, and then there's like law in the sense of like Bastiat's the law, right? Where it's like there's this like natural law that is voluntarily sort of observed by people.
So Sharia is more like the Ten Commandments, right?
Well, that's the way it is. That's the way I would think of it. That's so for me, it is the sort of rules that I live by in my own life, and I would use that word if I spoke Arabic.
But in some countries, right? Sharia law. And
right.
bastardizations of it.
They just make decrees and say things to people, and they, in their founding documents, it says, oh, yeah, by the way, everything the king says is Sharia.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, but that's the same as Congress saying everything they say is law.
Yeah.
Right?
And some politicians like George Bush saying, you know, Jesus Christ chose me to lead this war and things like that, you know.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, it's also like if you want to get into the linguistics of it, the word Torah means law. Right? So, like, it's a linguistic thing. Like, it's just a translation of a word into different languages.
Yeah.
So for me, the word means more like it means to the Torah, to, like, a Jew living in a secular society or whatever. But for some people, it means what it means to Congress, and those people are dangerous.
Yeah. And I didn't like the term Christian Sharia. We replaced it with religious statism, which is basically people trying to pass laws in any nation that are based on religious suggestions that are not absolute, you know, don't steal, don't kill. Like, you know, there are politicians who want to, who basically, like, what they're doing in the public schools now is making it corporal punishment for violating the commandment of, you know, honor your mother and father. Like, basically, if you sass the school, you know, and they become your mother and father, they put you in jail in some schools now. That ain't right. That is religious statism. And we'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends After Dark with Davi Barker and Michael Dean.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hold your kitties tight and trim their nails gently, and only their front nails. It's a cold night in Wyoming. This is Michael Dean After Dark, soon to be known as the Freedom Fiends After Dark. I was talking to Davi Barker during the break about cats and trimming their nails, and apparently he has a cat whose nails like to be trimmed. Our cats hate it. They try to use them on us when we do it, but we have to do it because they get – I have carpets all over my studio wall, and they literally get stuck on the carpet, and that's not good. So, yeah, we said – don't call in. But someone called in, and we like him. It's a guy named Jose. He's called him before. And I'm going to put him on here as soon as we're done building the cuss dump, because it is live radio, and that's how we do it. It's not religious statism. We don't have to do it. We just want to do it, because we want to have a clean, family-friendly show here for all of our fellow pre-op extraterrestrials like Davi Barker. All right. Jose, are you there? Jose?
Yes, I am Michael.
Yeah,
yes, Michael?
Jose's calling in from Orange County, California. What's on your mind, Jose?
Well, first, if I can, I would like to thank Nemo for his service from a little effing to a big effing.
Yeah, he's gone back to the civilian ranks. He's a small effing now, too. So,
is he a fiend in reserve?
I don't think so. You know, I'm not saying I won't ever have him on the show as a guest someday, but I'm not going to call him up 3 weeks from now. I'm going to call you up 3 weeks from now, Davi.
Okay.
Yeah, we all thank him for his service, and we're really sad to see him go. It's been
He's a veteran fiend.
He's a veteran fiend. Yep. So what else, Jose?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about music and activism, actually.
Okay.
Because I'm actually a musician myself. I'm a hip-hop artist. Like, I'm still amateurish working on it.
Okay.
I'm actually looking at working on songs and releasing them, but I was also looking at doing it, releasing for free music to help get the name out there first.
Yeah. It's really hard to make money at music these days, except maybe at performing. Even people who have big audiences have trouble selling their music because everyone can just get it free anyway. So I kind of look at I give away all the media I do and try to also sell it. Like, I will put it on iTunes and sell it, and I'll also give it away free on the Fiends blog. And yeah, it gets the word out there and makes a little bit of money.
Well,
yeah,
what's the name, like, you're getting out there? Do you have a stage name?
Get your name out here now. What is it?
Well, I do have a stage name. It's Sneezy.
I like it.
I do not really have my music online. There was like a few songs, but I can't even find them anymore.
Well, that's step one.
That is step one. Well, step one is the name. Step two is find the songs you made already.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Well, I'm actually going to be recording songs tomorrow also.
You know, here's a recommendation I have too, is like, another thing about giving your media away, you know, I give it away to everybody and put it on the internet and put it on BitTorrent. And like, there have been times where I've needed a document, whether it's music or video or something I wrote, and I literally don't have it. Like, if I have a computer crash and I didn't back something up, I can get it back from the internet. I've done that before. So you can give it away to other people, and then you'll never be without a copy of it.
Yeah, I used to give discs of my whole hard drive out to people as gifts. Like, here's everything I do on a CD. And then I had my laptop stolen, and the fact that people had those CDs just totally saved me.
Yeah, yep. That's pretty cool. Great idea. Yeah. And, you know, that's not a thing of, well, I have nothing to hide. Basically, I have nothing to hide, but it still really makes me mad that they read my stuff. But if I give it away to friends, you know, then it's... Then it's the main thing is, like, I don't want to be bootlegged before something's ready to be released, you know, and the government's spying on everything. Like, they're seeing works in progress. I don't want that.
Yeah. I don't have anything to hide. I hide it out of principle.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yes. I encrypt like, you know, recipes for salad dressing and things.
So what does Sneezy do? What's your kind of issues? You call it activism. What's your bent?
Well, my music is more, I'm trying to focus on political issues, but there are going to be like some feel good songs. So not to be all depressing, talking about the state and how it's evil.
Okay. Well, that doesn't have to be depressing. Hopefully it's motivating.
You know, what was one of my favorite songs that was kind of a weird feel good song was the Ice-T song. Was it Ice-T or Ice Cube? One of them had a song called It Was a Good Day or A Very Good Day. Do you know that song?
Yes, Ice Cube.
Yeah, it was basically like, you know, it was kind of a like somber party beat, and it was basically like, you know, none of my friends got killed today, I didn't get arrested today, it was a very good day, that kind of thing. That's a kind of interesting angle to take on tyranny.
Yeah, like, there are parts where I'm gonna do that, but there are parts where I'm gonna focus on,
well, cool, man,
going off.
When you get something going, or when you find some of those old songs, drop me an email. I'd love to hear it. Appreciate your call, man. Call in anytime. Thanks, Jose. Worms. Thank you.
Worms.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at lrn.fm. That's lrn.fm.
Yeah. This is hour 96 of my 2-week vigil on the air for the passing of the radio presence of Mr. Neem Vedati. He's not dead. He's just not on the radio anymore. I'm bummed out. And this is hour 96 of my 2-week vigil. And for the next 8 hours, we're going to have Davi Barker joining me. Hi, Davi.
How's it going?
So we want to talk about some documentaries. You know, I'm a big, big fan of documentaries. I love them. I will watch a documentary on almost anything. I mean, I even like that show, like How Things Work, you know, which is a pretty hip show. And most people have seen it and they go, yeah, I kind of like that. But think about it if that show didn't exist. And if I said, like, I really like documentaries about how pistons are made and chocolate, you know, it's kind of weird.
Sounds like Sesame Street.
Yeah, kind of does. But I really like documentaries, man. I mean, I've made 4 films. 3 of them are documentaries. And
yeah,
one,
you're
and,
a documentarian.
And one's a how-to. Well, there's a few reasons for that. One is it's a lot easier to make a watchable documentary than a watchable drama because documentaries don't require actors. And
sure.
Not everyone can act. I mean, most anybody has a friend or 3 or 5 who are like, yeah, man, I'll be in your movie. And they'll, but even if they can memorize lines, like most people can't convincingly act. I can actually convincingly act, which is why I'm one of the actors and Nima could do it too. That's why we're the actors in the skits in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. I play a really bad cop named Sergeant Dan Banning. And, I am eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm. And the most fun I've ever had filmmaking, I think, was doing the sound effects for that news piece, because the way we couldn't really show it and make it very, you know, it's hard to do that kind of horror stuff. Although for dramas, it's a lot easier to make a horror film than to make a non-horror film, because horror films largely rely on shock and makeup, and you kind of have a suspension of disbelief already because, you know, they often have zombies or whatever, so you're willing to accept some not as great acting. But the thing that was really fun for me for that was the sound effects. Basically, it was Nima was a newscaster saying, "We interrupt this broadcast to tell you that 6 drug police were eaten by bears." And then he goes to, you know, they put a picture of me up and it says Sergeant Dan Banning, RIP, 1964 to 2000 and whatever. And the story we had was that we had audio only, that like somebody left their walkie-talkie transmitting.
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, and it was recorded. It was kind
the
of
the Blair Bear.
It was kind project. Of the Bear Witch Project. It was kind of inspired, you know, by that. And it was
a long time I thought that was a real news clip. I've heard that clip like probably a dozen times.
Oh,
and I didn't realize it was fake for like the first 2 years.
6 drug police were eaten by bears.
Yeah.
Oh, you've heard it on just audio only on Free Talk
right.
Live. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot it's in the promo for that movie. But what we did was it was kind of brilliant sound effects. It was kind of inspired by when I used to listen to Cheech and Chong records, you know. It was like that guy's based on Dan Banning is a cross between Sergeant Stadanko from the Cheech and Chong records and Walter White's brother-in-law in Breaking Bad. Literally,
Hank.
Hank. That's my 2 inspirations. And I kind of look like Hank too, so it was pretty easy. But the really fun thing was the sound effects part in that, and it's a combination of like someone screaming, it's me screaming in agony, like 3 or 4 tracks of me and Nima screaming, and some rifle shots that we had fun going out and recording in the field, literally in a field recording shooting rifles. And then we recorded Nima's Malmut dog eating a bone and crunching on it.
Oh.
And then slowed it down so it was even deeper, and just it's so scary because it's supposed to be a bear eating a policeman, and it's a dog crunching on a, you know, soup.
That's great.
Soup bone. It was fun,
I love
man.
That kind of sound effect stuff. I grew up listening to Dr. Demento. Do you know who that is?
Absolutely. I grew up listening to him too. I loved him, and you know, he was the first time I ever heard who's the guy, Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al was on there.
He made Weird Al.
I was a big fan of the Frantics. They used to do skits like the Thought Police or Boot to the Head. stuff like that. But the sound effect stuff always got me. The guys who run like audio dramas using like these weird soundboards of strange objects and things.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool.
It's called Foley, and it's largely done with computer libraries now. You know, but
that's too bad.
But it's a lot more fun to record your own, to actually take the soup bone and go, "Here, puppy," and then get down with a microphone in front of the dog and try to encourage him to eat the bone and record it well. Yeah. Yeah, man.
One of my favorites, I remember there was an episode of Star Trek where there was this like organic spaceship. And the way they got the sound effect for the inside of the ship was they had the cast all like eat pizza after a screening one time, and they put microphones up to their bellies and like listen to them digest the pizza. And that became the sound effect on the show.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, the reason that I've reverted to pretty much only doing audio, well, for one thing, it's a lot easier. I mean, it takes me, for us to do an hour, and like when you take the ads out of this, this is, 2 hours of radio is about an hour and, we'll put it this way. To make a movie, a good movie, the way I do, to make a good movie that's an hour and a half long takes me a year. To plan, do live radio, and release a really good sounding archive of an hour and a half of good audio takes me about 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, and they both lose the same amount of money. So of course I'm going to do the audio. And the thing is really, good filmmaking, most of it is kind of like radio with just some added imagery. Like if you close your eyes and listen to the news, it's the same thing. It might as well be radio.
Sure.
It's just a person talking and some still images.
I feel like audio drama. I listen to a lot of audiobooks and a lot of like audio theater. There's still a lot of podcasts that do like old radio dramas.
Yeah.
And I feel like it keeps the imagination alive. My brain is not full of like CGI Transformers. My brain is full of these like strange characters from mystery novels that I listen to the audio of.
That one of the cool things is, I was talking to you before the break and I said, we have to keep it kind of straight here because, we're on stations that are, commercial stations where like we're on after Rush Limbaugh and before Glenn Beck. And it's like, that's true a lot of places, but a couple of the stations we're on, we're actually on right after an old timey radio theater show of like replays of like, Molly and Fibber McGee and Molly and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's kind of cool. And sometimes I listen streaming, those radio stations have streaming. I love to listen to the shows that we do that are played not live, they're played delayed and streaming. So I can hear them with the local ads. It's really cool and bizarre to like hear a show I did with an ad for a local dentist or like, in the oil country, like ads for drill bits and then like the cowboy church in the field or something like that. I like it.
I've been listening to this audio drama lately called Night Vale. It's really cool. You can find it on iTunes, but it's essentially this like strange little town called Night Vale where all of the conspiracies you've ever heard of are all true and they're reported on like morning radio.
Wow.
So it's presented as like the local radio show of Night Vale, and it's like, by the way, the dog park does not exist. Do not go to the dog park.
Did you ever play the video game Homefront?
I've heard of it, but I've never played it.
It's I sat down at some I like played through the intro once just to see the intro, and it's and I'm not a video game guy, but I really liked it and I was intrigued by it because it's written with the help of John Milius, who wrote Red Dawn and part of Apocalypse Now, and I think he helped with Jaws, and he's he's a gun guy and he's a liberty guy. He's probably a small government constitutionalist, but I'd hey, it's a cool movie, and it's basically like Red Dawn revisited, where you're one of the people fighting, but it's like Red Dawn, but it's the U.S. federal government, not, some communist government from another nation.
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of like Gray State movie and kind of like,
I was definitely struck by the posters. I remember when the posters for Homefront started showing up at like bus stops and things. It's like, this is just straight like anti-state propaganda posters. Yeah. Like if you didn't know it was a video game, it was very disorienting.
Yeah. But the game opens with like, it's through your eyes, waking up in an apartment that you can't really tell if it was yours or if you're squatting. And it's like, it's basically a bombed out, like there's a giant, RPG hole, like 6 feet through the wall, and you can see the city out through it. And you walk over and like turn on like a solar powered radio, and you're listening to like underground pirate resistance radio, You know, that kind of reminds me of what you just said about like the news is so weird. It sounds like conspiracy, but in this very believable world, it's the real underground news, you know?
And I kind of what podcasting is.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's kind of like what we do, you know? I really, they had that in Red Dawn too, both versions of it. You know, they had like, did you see them?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had like, you know, somebody be playing music and then interrupt and go like, the chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall, like delivering codes to the resistance, you know? John.
I mean, I like that. Like,
long mustache.
You saw that motif in like Terminator. I mean, you see that in a lot of places where the underground goes back to like ham radio because that's the sort of, that's the signal they can still control, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people can buy FM transmitters that are not legal in America, but it's actually, I mean, depending on what you're broadcasting, the FCC, there's actually a thing I believe in the FCC code that says it's legal to use unlicensed broadcasting for emergency purposes during, you know, times of emergency on unused channels. Don't quote me on that, but you know, it wouldn't be bad to have a 5-watt FM transmitter in your, you know, buried in a
in your bug out bag,
in a PVC tube in your neighbor's backyard. Yeah, you know, the neighbor that used to work for the CIA. That's, you know,
right.
I have one of those.
Do you really?
Yep.
I don't know if I would know if my neighbor used to work for the CIA.
I asked him. I just, you know, straight up was talking to him. Like, I was out, he was mowing the lawn. He was taking a break, having some lemonade. I was out pulling weeds and leaned over, you know, kind of like Wilson leaning over the fence in Tool Time. I just leaned over and just talked to him, chatted him up. And yeah, found out that, you know, he used to work for the agency. Although, you know, a lot of people lie about that to try to sound cool.
Maybe. Because how are you going to check, right? Freedom of Information Act, your neighbor?
He can check me. I can't check him.
My neighbor has a really weird job title. It's like glossolalologist or something. But basically, she's a speech therapist that helps people overcome foreign accents.
That's racist.
Yeah. Well, she's British, so.
That's really racist. Or I could just say, my other comment would be, physician, heal thyself. Does she have a British accent?
Yeah.
She shouldn't. Yeah. She's not very good at her job. She could look in the mirror and hypnotize herself. We'll be back with more on Freedom Fiends After Dark with Davi Barker and Michael Dean. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. The chair is against the wall. You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Michael Dean After Dark, crying his eyes out because Nima Vedati has left the building. Nima Vedati has left the building, and I am bummed out, man. Really bummed out. But Davi Barker is here to cheer me up by telling me all the tyrannies that are going on in the world. So, Davi, what are the tyrannies in the world?
What are the all of them?
No, you picked
one. Do we have time?
You picked one you especially like.
Pick one I especially like.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, there's so many to choose from. I guess taxes were the most, like, overt one in my life.
No, you got a news item.
Oh, you're talking Welcome to America, You've Been Lied To?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a collection of 10 things that they tell immigrants that are lies. when they take their entry exam. And these are things you probably learned in high school too, but they're lies. And
well, they're really official lies because they are the lies you have to regurgitate back to become an American citizen.
Yeah, so this is the citizenship test that immigrants are expected to pass before they get all their paperwork approved.
Which, interestingly, most Americans who were born in America can't come near passing this test. That's how stupid and uninformed most Americans are. Like, they don't even know the details of what the state believes of how the state is run. They don't know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, also, people filling out immigration paperwork have, like, 6 months to prepare for this test, but it takes Americans 14 years to learn this information.
And they still don't learn it.
Yeah. Because they just, you know, they memorize it long enough to put it down on the test, and then they forget it right away. I think the first
There's a really funny takeoff on this, where on The Simpsons, where it turns out that Apu is not legally a U.S. citizen, so he goes to take his citizenship test, and it's an oral test, which I don't think it is. I think it's written, but there's a pledge part of it that's oral. But in this one, you know, they're like, okay, here's question one. What were the causes of the Civil War? And Apu starts giving this really eloquent answer, like, well, there are many. There was the abolitionists versus the non-abolitionists, but there was also the gerrymandering of the state lines. And the guy's like, just put down slavery. All right, go on.
So I think the first one is the best lie because it's lying to them. And it's the United States has a long history of welcoming immigrants. And that is so obtuse, it must be deliberate. Like, there is no sense in which any immigrant community has come to the United States and been, like, hazed by the fraternal order of the federal government.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were welcomed during the Industrial Revolution. Not welcomed. I mean, they were beaten and, you know, thrown into horrible places. They were permitted to come to be fodder for, you know, to get their arms lost in factories. Yeah.
So one of the great factoids in this one is that Benjamin Franklin apparently tried to ban German immigration to Pennsylvania colony because he said that their swarthy complexion would dilute the pure white people of the Pennsylvania colony.
Germans are swarthy?
Apparently. I have no idea. This is a quote from Benjamin Franklin, apparently. But yeah, like, Irish Americans were accused of dual loyalty with the Pope and... Like, every immigrant community has faced this sort of thing.
I'm part Irish, and the Irish were invited here with open arms to build and then fill our prisons.
Yeah, so, that's just not true. So the next is, the next one is sort of true. It says the United States signed treaties with American Indian tribes to move them to reservations, which is sort of like, yeah, but, you know, that those treaties were backed by guns. It was like, sign this or die.
Yeah.
So
sign this and then we'll honor the parts of it we feel like.
So this is maybe more propaganda than a lie. This is a very whitewashed sort of version of these treaties. I mean, it's just a horrible, bloody history that happened to the Native Americans. So I don't know how you can say as your civics test, oh yeah, we signed treaties and moved them there voluntarily. But
People are horrible. People are horrible. You know, it's really interesting, and I'm not picking on America. All nations have a bunch of tyranny and murder and coercion in their history. That's what nations do. That's what defines them. But it's really weird when you talk to somebody who's like, yes, I love Elvis. Well, let's get back to when America was good. And I'm like, what, smallpox or murdering Indians? Which part was good, you know? All right. We're going to go Michael Dean, take a little break. Dark. Come back for 48 more hours.
MichaelWDean.com. That's MichaelWDean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision. Congrats.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to MichaelWDean.com for more. That's MichaelWDean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. It is Michael Dean. It's Michael Dean After Dark. Hold your kitties and pet them. It's a cold night in Wyoming. I'm flying on Airworm 1 using my FLIR, forward-looking infrared vision, to look at the radioactive wolves of Wyoming. They're running across the tundra of the Wyoming. Not really. I'm in a windowless bunker. I don't do bulletproof vest journalism. I do windowless bunker journalism. It's easier. What kind of journalism do you do, Davy Barker?
I don't know. I guess I'm sort of a bunker journalist, but I do some of the... I mean, I don't go
out. You leave the house.
I leave the house. I went to Occupy. I got hit with tear gas. I mean, yeah,
You got molested by the TSA?
Yeah, I got molested by the TSA. I went out to the Tea Party and covered that. So yeah, I do. I get around.
Who won?
Who won which?
You covered the Tea Party.
Well, no, the Tea Party, I mean, I was first wave Tea Party when it was an anti-war, anti-Federal Reserve thing, and it was essentially co-opted after that, so I was drummed out of a movement that I was there for the first day for.
Movement. Yeah. So, governments always want to censor you. They want to take away your rights, and we got a guy calling in who says he wants to talk about radio and ham radio. That's what he's saying. We'll see. All right. Got the dump button ready. Going to the phones with Glenn from Philadelphia. You there, Glenn?
Yes, I am. Hello, Michael. Hello, Davy.
What's up? How are you listening tonight?
We're actually streaming over the web from Global Star 5. I think it's the link I use for listening to actually another program, and I was just continuing to listen in the background. So It's I might be through Soundwave 2000. I'm not sure, but in other words, I usually listen to another program, and I just kept listening tonight, and you guys ended up on here.
What's the other program?
It's I listen to the Hagman and Hagman Report sometimes. So I'll be on Sunday nights. I wasn't even sure if they were on. I just put this on, and I end up listening to you guys.
So what's on your mind?
On my Zia Live app, it says Global Star 5. So
all right, what's on your mind tonight? Yeah.
Okay, the tuna has no mayo. The tuna has no mayo.
All right.
That's just the joke.
Yeah, we've dropped him. Yep, that didn't make any sense, and it didn't sound very good. And I think
it was your conspiracy talk, man, when you were talking about the chair was up against the wall or whatever.
I know. It sounded okay. So bad, I had to dump it, man. That's that guy that calls in all the time anyway. So, okay. So what's on your mind about this other thing, man? What's on your mind about the Constitution?
Oh, I just think, well, this is a lie they tell everyone. It is the idea that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and that the federal powers delegated to the federal government are described and limited by the Constitution, which is a myth that has never been observed in history ever. So, yeah, I mean, essentially they do whatever they want, and the checks and balances that are designed to limit that are slow moving while their executive powers are fast moving. So maybe it's like, you know, tyranny is pushed 5 steps forward before liberty is pushed 1 step backward by the Constitution. So,
yeah, I like this thing in this article about that. When asked about the constitutionality of Obama's health care bill, Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn told Judge Andrew Napolitano, "Most of what we do in Washington is not authorized by the Constitution." It was a rare moment of honesty. You know, it's kind of like in sci-fi movies, like in Westworld, when the robots start malfunctioning and yes, kill, destroy. You know, it's kind of one of those moments.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's true though. I mean, if you didn't live here and you were an alien from another planet and you were asked to read the Constitution and imagine what a society based on that description would look like, and then you found out that they were, you know, controlling everything, that they were bombing countries without congressional approval, that they were, you know, implementing taxes that were not described in it. I mean, it does not look like the document describes, and that's because there's no enforcement mechanism and, you know, paper doesn't do anything.
Most people don't care, though. They really don't. And
no.
I mean, yeah, like Palin said at an NRA rally recently, which, you know, the NRA foists itself as a civil rights organization, as defending your freedoms. And like, she got huge applause speaking to them recently, saying, if I were in charge, there'd be a lot more waterboarding going on. That's just sick, man, that she'd say that and that it got applauded.
It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment anyway.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even say that? I don't know. She's kind of a lunatic anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, she really is. But my 94-year-old dad thinks she's hot.
Okay. Well, maybe she's a little young for him, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, because she's like, what, 52 or something?
So what I think is cool is that there's this catalog of unconstitutional things that are done here, and some of them are pretty old. So you have George Bush starting wars without formal declarations. You have FDR authorizing the Japanese internment camps. You have Woodrow Wilson establishing the Federal Reserve. You have Abraham Lincoln suspending habeas corpus. But this one is great. You have John Adams made it a crime to criticize government officials. So that's like, man, all the way back. Like, John Adams is like supposed to be one of these like founding fathers of American philosophy, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be one of the good guys of the founding fathers too, and he's really not. So, and even like the good guys, you know, like the few that said really feisty things that we like to hear and quote, owned people. Man, you can't be a liberty guy and own people. And you know, I've heard the excuse of, well, you know, they didn't really like it, but it was the style of the day. Like, if slavery became legal, I would not do it. I would not own slaves.
Well, here's the thing, like, and maybe this is a little hyperbolic, but when you see all these like leftist anarchists, like worshiping folks like Che Guevara and these sorts of personalities, they have lots of great freedom sounding quotes too. And if you completely ignore everything that they did and you just pay attention to the meme you saw on Facebook, they sound like saints.
Yeah, Che Guevara murdered homosexuals. He murdered people that didn't agree with him. He murdered people for liking jazz music and rock and roll. Which, you know, you think he'd want you with your iPod listening to your pop music? No, man. He'd kill you. He'd kill you dead.
But now, you know, I live in San Francisco and there's a lot of gay and lesbian activists who are left activists, and they wear their Che Guevara shirts just like everyone else. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's been pointed out before. I mean, Glenn Beck did a whole show on that, and you know, there's this show I like, this BBC comedy called Peep Show, where one of the main characters, like he kind of dresses kind of square and works in an office, and he's getting married and his wife takes him to a clothing store to buy some kind of hip clothing, like, to dress him up, and he doesn't really want to, and he's like, he picks a jacket and it has a pocket that's just a zipper, it's not a real pocket. And then she holds up another shirt and says, "Oh, this would look good on you." And she's like, "Do you know who that is?" And she's like, Che Guevara. He killed as many people as Stalin, you know, or he's a tyrant." And the guy's just, his mind is blown about, you know, the ironic veneration of tyrants and zips that go nowhere on clothing. Like, that's what the world's coming to.
Well, I'm just suggesting that it's kind of the same mentality. It's a different ideology, but the willingness to overlook the crimes of the founding fathers in order to have this foundational myth for your nation state is the same thing. It's this. It's the great man theory of history, right? And it's all propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is weird that that's fashion, though, too. I mean, but I guess expecting activist hipsters not to have ironic veneration of tyrants on their T-shirts is asking for logic, which is not really something you can ask for, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather, even the people that I venerate, I would rather like know about them warts and all because the existence of this sort of idealized activist or leader who is perfect makes that unattainable for me. If I can believe in somebody who's like a great mover and shaker and thinker and changer in the world and they're flawed, then I can imagine myself as a flawed human being aspiring to that accomplishment.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've never dug having heroes. I never did, even before.
Not even Spider-Man?
No, man. No, I never liked comic books as a kid. Wow, I guess my heroes were scientists when I was a kid, and then I liked musicians a lot, but I never venerated them. I never had, you know, altars to them. I never had posters on my wall of them.
Mine were authors. When they were authors that I really loved, I was like, man, I want to be able to write like that guy.
I liked authors when I was young. I always pictured that authors had magical lives, and I kind of fetishized books and like would go to the library and read them, but also just kind of like pet them, like they were a connection from my small town to something great and far away, you know. Yeah. I venerated like ideas more than people, but I pictured that, like, I kind of believed until I started writing for a living, I kind of believed that every author of every book ever lived in a mansion surrounded by beautiful women smoking opium and petting a pet panther or something.
I had a teacher once, when I told her that I wanted to be a writer when I grew up, she told me, well, that would be an oath of poverty.
Yeah.
And so I always knew that, but I just felt like that was such a mean thing to say to a child.
I had an English teacher that I really looked up to, who was one of the, you know, two teachers out of 40 I've had in my life that actually gave a crap and inspired me. And I told him I wanted to be a writer, and he said, you're a really good writer, but you'll never make a living as a writer because you can't spell. But computers changed that.
That turns out not to be true.
Yep.
I was always terrible at spelling too, but that's because I cheated on all my spelling tests.
How'd you cheat?
I just wrote it on my desk. I had a pencil. I'd write all the words on my desk. I'd put the paper over it. I'd just copy it from the desk to the paper and erase it off the desk.
I never cheated. But it's kind of shocking to me that someone would admit that they did. But I guess that's based on, you know, like the reward system of the government school system and the honor code that schools seem to have. And it's like, you know, some part of me is still shocked. Like, really? You cheated? How'd you do that?
I mean, I'm not saying that it was the right thing to do or anything, but, you know, my life serves as an example to others. So, you know, that I credit that with why I'm a bad speller, but I've overcome it and technology has helped me. And, you know, I still have to make a very concerted effort to learn to spell things.
All right, we'll be back with more bad spelling and cheating on the Freedom Fiends After Dark with Davi Barker and Michael Dean.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today. This is Michael Dean. It's Michael Dean After Dark. Remembering Nima Vedati and his service to the Liberty Movement. What are your favorite recollections there of Nima Vedati, Davi Barker?
Wow. He had a great voice. I mean, he was professional at
it. He's not dead. You don't have to speak about it in past tense.
He still has a great voice.
Yeah.
He has a great laugh.
I remember his laugh.
Great moments. I don't know, man. It's just like one big long river.
There you go. It's a river of moments. Yep. Yeah, and he'll be missed. And you know, but he lives on. He's alive still. I mean, I could call him up right now and wake him up and put him on the radio, but I'm not gonna. But
yeah, this is kind of weird.
I know. Mourning him. He's not dead. He's just asleep, man. That's all. That's all. But yeah. But we are taking moments to remember Nima Vidotti. And Nathan was calling in from Texas. We're going to have him call back after this caller. It's Glenn, the guy we accidentally hung up on. Or maybe, I don't know, we hung up on him. We're going to bring him back. You there, Glenn? Are you there? Hello, hello.
Yes, I am here. Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Sorry about that. You sound like Cody Wilson. Do you know Cody Wilson? You know who that is?
No, I don't.
All right. So what's on your mind?
I'm not sure at what point I got cut off. First of all, the spare tire is without inflation. Repeat, the spare tire is without inflation. Anyway.
That sounds like where it was, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I was starting to talk about, financial limitations, things affecting talk radio. You were talking about, like, people using, like, these code phrases on ham radio. I was reminded of how the Soviet Union was brought down by fax machines and people having to get, a little bit creative and savvy about communications in times of tyranny or societal upheaval. And one of the things that's profoundly affecting talk radio right now is, financial problems driving talk radio networks out of business. I had said I was listening to a talk radio show network owner and host lamenting the recent demise of numerous different talk radio networks, and several of the bigger ones or more well known ones are hanging in. Most notably, GCN and Rents are hanging in there. Some are struggling. And, if there's a real, if there's a bad economic downturn or any sort of furtherance of, government censorship, these will be, you'll be looking back not too far in the future on days like these as the gravy days,
Well, governments worldwide, but especially the American government is the one that I see, seem to really be hanging themselves, because what they really should do if they want to be effective is be slower about their tyranny and slower about putting taxable businesses out of business. And they just don't seem like they're thinking that way anymore. I mean, it doesn't seem like a sustainable model. So yeah, radio is one of the many places it's feeling that. I mean, Nima Vidotti quit the show because he wasn't making enough money, because he had to take care of his family.
Right. Exactly. It's just a necessity. Talk about the business. I mean, there's the Fabian boil the frog slowly approach, which versus like the, those who like to do things via crisis, and supposedly over the long term, the Fabians ultimately have more influence in high places. But from time to time, you get your world wars or your major crises, But the day in day out process of conditioning the masses is the Fabian boil the frog slowly approach, gradual programming, behavior modification. But I was just thinking about, in other words, you were, talking about feeling bummed out and, taking a hit on losing your friend as the host. But it's like, yeah, we have to like steel our souls for a lot of potential things, that could be coming up. And I mean, look at these people over in Ukraine. They're having to, I'm sure they're having to band together at a grassroots level in ways they never thought of before to do all this communication, So when they go and get stuff, the tough get going, blah, blah, blah,
Yep. So we got about 30 seconds more. What do you see as a solution for people for things like this?
Thinking about alternative. Well, for example, I have a ham radio license, but I've never done much with it. Or things like, fax machines, or just readying yourself for all sorts of stuff.
Cool, man.
Include the communications element in your prepping.
Bye. Absolutely. Thank you, man. Thank you for your call, Glenn. All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yes. Michael Dean After Dark, soon to be known as Freedom Fiends After Dark. And we are tilting the windmills of the state. If you know the expression tilting windmills, that doesn't actually mean what it sounds like. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't mean, it sounds good, but it doesn't mean anything good. But I think we really are making a difference. And hopefully we're encouraging some people. I'm in mourning because my friend Neem Vidati left, but I'm kind of cheering up here. We're getting some phone calls, and I liked the last one. It was good, and we got another one I think is going to be good. It's Nathan. Are you there, Nathan?
I'm here.
What's on? Where are you calling from, and what's on your mind?
I'm calling from Texas, and I just thought of a good phrase, in memoriam. It doesn't actually mean death. It means in memory in Latin.
Ah, okay. And what are you in memory of?
Well, you know, the mic I'm holding because it's something Nima recommended on one of your websites. So, you know, I'll always have something to remember him by.
Ah, excellent. And what mic is that?
It's a Nady SP4C Star Power mic.
Oh, the $17 mic that sounds like a $200 mic.
Right, except the stand that I ordered to go with it fell apart and I couldn't fix it. So now I have to hold it whenever I call someplace.
You have to hold it very still so we don't hear the hand movement on it. So what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to give my condolences about NEMA. You know, ALP is changing its time slot too. And I wonder if you guys will still all be there if I go up to Porkfest in a few months. Seems like a lot of shows are ending.
You wonder if what will be there?
Well, just everybody, because ALP is its run.
I will be doing radio. If I'm kicked off radio and thrown off the internet, I will be standing on a street corner with a bullhorn made from a rolled up newspaper. I'm not going to stop talking, man. Nothing can stop me. No, I'll be there. I'm going to be doing this show live from Porkfest every night. And Ben Stone's going to take naps in the afternoon so he can stay up late and be the bouncer for my radio show.
He probably could do that. He looks like he could be like a 70-year-old bouncer.
70? Ben's like 53, man. 53? Don't condemn him.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Yeah, although he said when he was in the hospital, one of the nurses came over to him when no one else was around and said, you know, I'm not supposed to do this, but if you need a little bit of alcohol to help you sleep so you don't have the shakes, we keep a little grain alcohol. We can mix it with some orange juice for you. And he's like, I'm not an alcoholic. She's like, okay, but you know, if you change your mind, let me know. They thought he was a homeless drunk.
Oh, I think it's the beer that made me think of that.
Yeah. Nah, man, Ben's like 53, 54, something like that. Yeah. So what else, man? What else? Porkfest. Well, sounds good.
Well, I liked your comments, Dobby, about the Constitution, about the alien thing. The metaphor I always think of when it comes to the Constitution is the emperor's clothes, because right. I think that's a German story. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but there's also a German expression, which is only children and fools tell the truth.
Ooh.
And I think that's very apt for a lot of people, not necessarily libertarians, but anyone who kind of you know, looks at the system and kind of judges it objectively instead of being inside of it. And you can kind of look at the Constitution and see all the kinds of things in it that don't really apply.
Sure. Oh. So the emperor is dressed in parchment. Is that what you're saying?
And, you know, don't ever forget what parchment is. It is treated sheepskin.
Right.
Yep. And the Constitution is written on parchment. A lot of people say it's written on hemp. The Declaration of Independence is written on hemp, and drafts of the Constitution were written on hemp. But hemp was cheap paper, and it was used for drafts, usually. And if you wanted something to stick around for a while, they used sheepskin.
For you public school students, those are different documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Yeah.
Also, the Bill of Rights is not the entire Constitution.
Yeah. I like on this show, News Radio, one time, some rapper asked some really square news guy, like, come on, man, you've read the about the Emancipation Proclamation, right? And he's like, I'm sorry, I don't listen to rap music.
But I guess what's one thing I've always wondered about that story is because, you know, there are two kinds of people in the story. There's the kid who sees that the emperor doesn't have any clothes and goes, mommy, mommy, that guy doesn't have clothes, you know, because right. He's a kid. And then there's everyone else, the adults, who could sort of go along with it because no one, you know, nobody wants to look stupid or foolish.
Well, I always wonder nobody wants to be the one who the emperor points his anger at, right? Like, well, that's the point.
Right, yeah. That too.
At least how I read it.
I've always wondered what percentage of the people in that crowd, I think Michael already knows the answer, what percentage are the ones who are just sort of going along with it and versus the ones that like really have convinced themselves that really he does have clothes on?
Well, if you're talking about the political ponderology viewpoint of sociopaths and people who follow them, that book says that 6% of people are sociopaths and 15% of people follow sociopaths.
So I guess that would be like the 15%. I actually have that book based on what you said, and I'm going to read it.
I've never read it. I've read a description of it. When you read it, you can call me in and tell me if I'm right. I might be off on the numbers, but that's the basic premise of it. And I think it's written by a guy who emigrated from the Soviet Union and then died of old age a few years ago, didn't he?
It's still sitting on my desk, so I haven't actually cracked it open yet. But that's the one thing I've always wondered. Like, are libertarians just kind of like, are we the children? We're the children in that story, but does that mean we're a different species? Like, you like to say sometimes. Do what?
Or we're the fools.
Yeah. Or we're the fools, yeah. One or the other.
I don't know. Are we a different species? I opened the show sort of claiming to be a different species.
I opened the show claiming to be a misallocated human on the wrong planet.
Right. So you're on the wrong planet and I'm in the wrong genome.
You need a DNA change.
Yeah, I think you need to apply to the Galactic Medical Complex or whatever. That.
Yeah, absolutely. There should be... You know, if I would like my species change to be subsidized by the United Federation of Planets.
You know, it's funny. Star Trek always talks about diversity, but in their actual depictions, it's always very kind of monochromatic in a sense. Like every species has – everyone talks the same and believes the same and has the same, you know, political beliefs and so on.
I don't know. I always found Star Trek to be kind of racist. I mean, like,
exactly.
There's no diversity in the Klingons. There's no diversity in the Ferengi. And the only redemption for any species is to become a Starfleet officer.
Yeah, because there's one black lady and one Asian guy and a Scottish guy.
Well, right. So the original crew of the Enterprise in the first series was like a UN. It was like a representative from every Earth nation, right? But like, everything is collectivist from then on, right? Like, Spock is a Vulcan, and he's identical to almost every Vulcan.
Right, like, exactly.
Like, to the point of, like, it's just trafficking in stereotypes. Like, they say, oh, yeah, they warned us about the Ferengis in the Academy. It's like, you know, it's like, come on, man, they're individuals.
Yeah, and it's funny, the Ferengi are kind of supposed to be, like, libertarian types, because they're all about into capitalism and so
forth. Yeah, they're capitalists. Yeah, they're sort of in,
half
like,
the time they're portrayed as trying to steal and scam people, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there is a right to keep and bear arms one, though, where he's caught on some planet that looks largely like the deserts of Southern California, and some lizard people monster attacks him, and he improvises a shotgun out of, like, bamboo, diamonds in the rough, and, you know, found sulfur and saltpeter and charcoal. Remember that one?
I do remember that one. That one's kind of famous.
Yeah.
I saw a fun episode recently. It was like hippies came to the Enterprise, and it was like an excuse to play like 70s music and have like an anti-war protest. They had like a sit-in on the transporter. And the leader of the hippies sort of – he goes up to Kirk and he says, "We do not recognize any authority that is not our own." And then Kirk immediately says, "Whether you recognize authority or not, I'm it on this ship." And I'm like, wow, okay, so the lines are drawn.
Yeah, Star Trek has a lot of hypocrisy. I just watched a review of a Star Trek Voyager episode about time travel or whatever, where they go back in time and like they find some guy who's started the computer revolution. They talk about, and they get taken captive by some Arizona militiamen at one point.
Really?
Man, let's talk about time travel. I had a crazy idea about time travel. So every sci-fi I've ever seen talk about time travel, it's always about don't change the timeline. Like there's this like great bias toward the thing that happened first, right? But what if the actual like prime directive for time travel was anything voluntary goes? As long as you don't aggress, that's a legitimate timeline. Like, wouldn't that be more interesting?
Isn't there like different kinds of time travel science in science fiction? Like some can only go forward in time, some can only go back. Isn't that
how there's lots of different ones.
Yeah.
Like there's the one where you go
are there is there like a multiverse or is there like one timeline that has to be redeemed or whatever? Yeah, the science is always goofy.
Well, Star Trek does all of those.
Yeah, that's true. But I just wonder, like, what is this bias toward getting back to the original timeline? Like, why is changing the timeline against the rules?
Well, because it's like a butterfly effect sort of thing. Like, because in the original series, remember how they saved the one lady from getting hit by the car, and that somehow caused the Nazis to win, and everything went bad?
Yeah. That was like the opposite of the would you kill Hitler as a baby. This was like the would you kill the peace activist as a baby if it would prevent Hitler from coming to power.
I like how Futurama does it the best. They've done a number of really cool time travel ones. The one where they have to keep going back in time and then miss it and have to go all the way back around the circle in time again is my favorite. But,
oh, that was awesome. I remember that.
And I really like the one where you find out that Fry is his own grandfather.
His own grandpa?
The one where they go back to – it's called Roswell that ends well. And they go back to like the Roswell nuclear testing grounds. And you know, he's an army grunt trying to keep his grandfather from falling into piles of rusty bayonets and things like that. And his grandfather dies in a nuclear test, so he has to co-mingle with his grandmother as a young lady to make sure he exists.
He has to know her in the biblical sense.
Yes.
But I'm just like wondering, like we don't accept like pragmatic utilitarian arguments when it comes to the non-aggression principle. So why is that always the time travel argument? The time travel argument is always, well, you know that these are the consequences, but the thing you did was not aggression. So like, why can't that be the standard? Why wouldn't that produce the ideal timeline if you went back in time?
And if you killed Hitler, how do you know that another one wouldn't pop up?
Well, he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to go to break, and you want to stick around for the end there,
sure.
Nathan?
Yeah, I think I'll stick around.
You too. You too, Dobby.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Yeah. Yep. It's Michael Dean, broadcasting on one radio station, two internet streaming sites, and apparently KU band radio. We just confirmed that. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, and we are going to be talking about Gene Roddenberry, racist or patriot, when we get back. All right, you guys go. This is the last segment in this two-hour show. If you want to hear more, you can go to michaelwdean.com or Freedom Fiends. F-E-E-N-S, that's a few ham radio operators out there. That's Freedom, and then Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com, FreedomFiends.com. So talk about this Gene Roddenberry fella, guys. Who is what's he known for?
Star Trek.
Yes, thank
Pretty
you.
Pretty much.
All right, go on.
Well, I don't know, you want the floor, Nathan? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just watched an episode, well, a review online of this Voyager episode called Future's End, and I guess I should first explain why it's an awesome episode. And that is, it's the only Star Trek episode where the crew gets taken captive by some militia guys, and he goes, there are only two forces in this world, the forces of collectivism and the forces of individualism, and you're on the wrong side. So that's got that going for it.
Well, Voyager's after Roddenberry was gone, so there were a lot of writers trying to salvage the Star Trek universe from his Marxism. So that doesn't totally surprise me.
Well, yeah, there was a whole lot of things that he kind of messed up, and the writers had to kind of paper over, like the money thing. But I just thought this was a great moment, because this is the closest you'll see to a libertarian is these militia guys in the Arizona desert taking the crew captive. And
that's cool.
The actual plot involves like a guy who's some guy in the 20th century found a time traveler. Beat him up, took his ship, and is going to, you know, revolutionize the technology with computers. And the heroic crew of Voyager has to stop him. But the funny thing is, they keep delivering these lines throughout the episode of, violence is bad. You shouldn't turn to violence. And that's actually what the Native American guy tells the militiaman. He says, you know, violence is not the answer. But throughout the episode, they're constantly using violence. You know, they're blowing trucks up and, you know, firing phasers, and at the end they just straight up kill the CEO guy who's trying to go to the future and mess things up. So it's a bit of a conflict.
Well, Dobby thinks that Star Trek needs to be turned into an international arbitration board, or at least the Southern Poverty Law Center, right? What did you mean?
What I meant was, so the Southern Poverty Law Center, like, sort of famously began as this sort of anti-racist organization, but it's since become like just a straight leftist organization, and it targets anybody who's on the right wing, including like Freedom's Phoenix or Michael Bolden from the 10th Amendment Center.
You know, I never got on their list, and I feel like I'm not as cool as the other libertarians because I never made the SPLC's list. I'm kind of bummed out about that.
You missed peak Southern Poverty Law Center, because the FBI has announced that they actually don't use them as a resource anymore.
Well, so did they give a reason?
I just think they've lost credibility. I don't know that they gave a reason, but it has always seemed to me that they have jumped the shark long ago.
When they put Michael Bolden on there, I was like, come on, man, I'm at least as feisty as him. Like, that one really irked me. I was like, come on, man, I'm as much of a tilter of government windmills as that guy. Put me on.
Do you think it contributed? Do you think it contributed that they put the Mises guy on there?
Maybe. So my point was just, if the Southern Poverty Law Center had stuck to their mission and they were a strictly anti-racist organization, they should have put Gene Roddenberry on there, because the way Gene Roddenberry deals with alien races is entirely racist. It's collectivist. They're all tropes of like stereotypes of humans. Like, the Klingons were originally the Japanese, and then later they became the Vikings, and then later, but they were always a racist stereotype of somebody, right?
Well,
the Ferengi are the Jews, the Vulcans are the Chinese, like, yeah.
Well, there actually aren't any Jews on Star Trek, which is kind of a conspiracy theory in itself.
No, the Ferengi are the Jews.
I guess.
All right.
They're obsessed with gold. They have big ears and big noses. It's a total stereotype.
I don't even know where to go with this, fellas, except to the end of the show. This is Michael Dean. We've enjoyed talking with Davi Barker. You can go to shinybadges.com for more on him. You go to freedomfiends.com for me. And here's my alter ego, Michael W. Dean, to let you know what time it is. Take it, Michael.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.